And Tajikistan says 23 of its soldiers are killed in a terrorist attack. Hello and welcome. This is Press TV News. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country never seeks a nuclear bomb.
اما ما هیچ وقت نمیخوام بمب بسازیم. روشنه که آینده مال ایرانه. تحریم ها اثری
نداره.
اگه قرار بود تاثیر داشته باشه الان من اینجا نبودم.
Ahmadi Nejad made the remark in an exclusive interview with the Associated Press on the first day of his stay in New York. He added sanctions against Iran's nuclear program are ineffective. The Iranian president said Tehran is ready to hold talks with the 5+1 group on his country's nuclear program. Meanwhile, he mentioned that the U.S. administration must accept that Iran is a big power in the world. Said the future belongs to Iran. Sarah Short, an American national who was released from Iran early last week, has arrived in the U.S. Short, who is now reunited with her mother, held a press conference in New York.
I want to begin by again expressing my sincere thanks to the government and religious leaders of Iran. My gratitude goes in particular to Ayatollah Khamenei and President Ahmadinejad for my compassionate release from detention. It is my deepest hope that the world will not let this humanitarian gesture by the Iranian government and judicial branch go unrecognized. I found Iranians to be a diverse and generous people, defined by their fervent worship of God, their noble Islamic values. Like all of us, they love their families and they want to live in peace.
Short, together with two other U.S. nationals, were arrested near the Iraqi border in July 2009 when they illegally entered Iran. Tehran charged the three with espionage, but the Iranian judiciary decided to release Short on health grounds. A number of death row prisoners are awaiting execution in America over what human rights groups have been describing as unsubstantiated convictions.
Countdown has begun for the execution of three prisoners, including two female convicts, who are on death row in the United States. Linda Carty, a British grandmother, has been sentenced to death over the alleged murder of another woman 9 years ago. Carty is going to be executed by lethal injection in Texas. She's always protested her conviction and insists that she is innocent. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to review Linda Carty's murder conviction.
The prospects of a Supreme Court justice who is of the liberal bent is a long way away.
Another death row detainee, Teresa Lewis, is diagnosed with borderline mental retardation. Lewis will receive a lethal injection on September 23rd in Virginia.
The United States does not belong to the community of nations that has abolished the death penalty. The United States still executes people, 37 people so far this year.
And the third person on death row is Holly Wood. This African-American man is also said to be mentally impeded.
And so if we look at the index of racial disparity with respect to imprisonment, we see that the administration of justice in the United States is off the charts because there is a lack of justice.
Out of the 145 exonerees that was on death row, they were there because of poverty.
This African-American man is also said to be mentally impeded. The U.S. judicial system has drawn widespread condemnation from rights groups and human rights organizations. For instance, campaigners say Linda Carty's conviction has resulted from a catastrophically flawed trial. Amnesty International has called on the U.S. official to commute the death sentence of Teresa Lewis. But these cases are not perhaps the first and last ones in the U.S. to have drawn fire over what's been described as a mockery of justice. Large numbers of cases have recently surfaced in which American judicial officials had deliberately withheld or distorted evidence at the expense of the defendants. In North Carolina, tampering with the evidence resulted in three executions and scores of long prison sentences. All the convicts have turned out to be innocent.
So we have a country that's in crisis, and it reflects a community in crisis.
You're watching Press TV News. Sweden faces a hung parliament, with Prime Minister Fredrik Reinfeldt's four-party coalition just short of securing an outright parliamentary majority. Reinfeldt has declared victory, but his ruling center-right has fallen three seats short of majority in the 349-seat chamber. The Social Democrat-led opposition has won 157 seats. The anti-immigrant Sweden Democrats also scored a victory. They now have enough votes to enter parliament for the first time. The party is called racist across the Swedish political spectrum. Analysts predict they will play kingmaker now that the Reinfeldt coalition has lost its majority in parliament. But the Prime Minister has ruled out reaching out to the party. Reinfeldt says he will seek cooperation from the opposition Greens instead. Tajikistan's defense ministry says 23 soldiers have been killed, another 10 wounded in what it calls a terrorist attack. According to reports, suspected rebels opened fire on a column of troops in Tajikistan. The troops had gone to reinforce roadblocks in the north of the Central Asian country. The attack occurred some 250 kilometers east of the capital Dushanbe in the mountainous Rasht Valley. Military forces are leading operations in the region to try and find 25 fugitives who escaped from prison in August after killing six security guards. U.S. forces have killed six civilians in eastern Afghanistan. Five people were killed during a U.S. military assault in Nangarhar province. An elderly woman died during an operation by American forces in Laghman province. The woman's child was also wounded. The U.S.-led foreign troops have killed large numbers of Afghan civilians and military personnel in the so-called friendly fire incidents since 2001. The UN Secretary General has called for an urgent global response to the flood disaster which has affected millions in Pakistan. Ban Ki-moon has said the crisis is a global test of solidarity. The UN chief says the flooding in Pakistan is one of the biggest natural disasters the United Nations has responded to in its 65-year history. He made the comments at an international ministerial meeting on the disaster. The meeting sought extra resources for the country after the UN issued a record $2 billion emergency appeal on Friday. Pakistani officials told the meeting that the country had only 20% of the food and water needed for the victims. More than 20 million people have been affected by the floods since July, with up to 12 million needing urgent humanitarian aid. A quick reminder of the headlines now. Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, says his country has no plan to build nuclear bombs. Sweden's elections end in a hung parliament. And Tajikistan says 23 of its soldiers are killed in a terrorist attack. And still ahead here on Press TV, floods and landslides in Slovenia. We'll be right back. Many thanks for staying with us. Tel Aviv is calling for the expulsion of Palestinians by redrawing what it calls Israeli borders. Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman says Palestinians should be excluded from Israel because they don't recognize Israel as a Jewish state. He also rejected swapping the occupied Palestinian lands in return for peace with Palestinians. Lieberman's proposals come just as direct talks are underway between Tel Aviv and the Palestinian Authority. Israel's settlement activity is the thorniest issue in the talks. The Palestinian Authority wants an end to the settlement construction on the occupied territories. But Lieberman says Israel should keep its West Bank settlements and has no plan to extend its 10-month freeze due to end later this month. Officials from Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank have been denied entry to the Netherlands. The Dutch Association of Municipalities, VNG, has cancelled the planned visit by local Israeli officials because several members of the Israeli delegation were from the occupied Palestinian territories. The VNG says that organizing a visit by Israeli officials from settlements in the West Bank gives the impression that the Netherlands is taking sides in the conflict. Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank are considered illegal under international law. The Israeli Foreign Ministry's intervention into the matter has been unable to reinstate the visit. The so-called buffer zone continues to make life a misery for Gaza farmers. In this olive season, Gazans risk being shot at by Israeli troops for just attempting to harvest their olive orchards near the border.
The season of olive harvest gets underway in Gaza, with farmers collecting the produce in hundreds of acres of agricultural lands. Olive tree is considered a holy tree in the coastal strip, but those whose lands lie near or along the border with Israel risk being shot at by Israelis if they attempt to reach their lands to harvest their trees.
I used to take my family to my olive fields near the borderline to harvest the trees, but now we get shot by Israel. We are ordinary farmers who just want to earn a living.
According to the Minister of Agriculture in Gaza, about 20 million square meters of lands are planted with olive trees, but the quantity of produce is getting less each year due to Israel's systematic policy of raising agricultural lands during ground incursions. The olive tree is produced at the special factories by grinding olives and extracting the oil.
The olive trees along the border have disappeared in recent years because Israel keeps raising and uprooting them. Tens of thousands of different kinds of trees have been uprooted during military ground incursions.